We are back. This is the Council's Connection. I'm your host, Fabian Vicks, and we got a lot of things to talk about on this episode. We're going to talk about what happened to my last episode because I'm listening to it now, and this is a fault of my own. I never listened to it because I've screened it and played it, and it's fine and posted. So I'm going to talk about what happened on my third episode, why there is no type of audio on the episode. We are also going to talk about my role as on professional development with GSEA, going a little bit more in depth on that. We're gonna have my housekeeping items, and of course, we're gonna talk about my final thought on FAMU versus Fort Valley State. We play today. I'm recording this on a Saturday, and hopefully, I do not have to follow through on a bet I made with my principal. So this is the part of the show I say, let's go.
In the streets like it's common sense. Stack the money heads up like it's second nature. Gotta stay pulled up like it's second nature. Keep a chip in my hair like it's second nature. Big wonder make me step like second nature.
So, for those that are fans of the show, thank you for listening. I am trying to figure out what happened to my episode that I aired on August the 29th. I'm going back, listening to it, making sure I don't repeat any of the topics for this episode. And I'm listening to it, and I just hear nothing. I hear my background music I have when I'm talking, and there's nothing on there. I am just as shocked as you are. So therefore, you do not know what in the world I'm talking about on that episode. I'm shocked. I'm appalled. I am hurt. I'm angry. I am so many words right now that there's no sound. Literally just music. No words on there. I got nothing. Like Whitney Houston, I got nothing. 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 I apologize for that. I wish that some fans would have said something that, hey, we don't hear nothing on the podcast, because I literally don't hear nothing. I went back to the platform I use for the podcast, and there is nothing on that episode. So I might have to redo this whole episode again and talk about some things, and if I remember what we're talking about. But problem is, though, I don't. So therefore, it is what it is. It's a lost episode. It's just some beats that you listen to. Like, what is this? Is this a beat track for counselors or something? So I am flabbergasted. I am concerned. I got nothing for you. But I guess I will go back and talk about the first month of counseling and things that we should be doing. So be right back, because I am shocked. So, I guess I will be redoing the stuff I talked about last week that y'all did not hear, because you got 30 minutes of beats on my podcast. So, I want to apologize. So, I will have to delete that episode and redo it again. No worries, but it is a worry, because that shot me. That shot me. There's no words other than I'm shocked. So, we are entering our second month of school. We have already entered our second month of school. Some things that, as counselors, we need to do to make sure that we stay safe with our kids, as far as continuing to prepare them to be academically, social, emotionally, and career ready, is needs assessments. We are going to, what I've already done already with our students, I create a needs assessment for them. On the fourth day of school, I introduce myself to my eighth grade students. Things that we should be doing this year as far as virtual college tours, life readiness, and of course, getting ready for high school. And one of the things I did with two things I did with them. I did a needs assessment. I create a needs assessment where we find out the top four things, or top three things that they see they need more assistance with and more coaching on. Two of the topics that I eliminated, of course, were high school and college. I left college on this one just to see where their heads were at as far as getting ready for college, thinking about college now. Early in the year, you probably heard me talk about being college and career ready. Start thinking about that in seventh, eighth grade. There's nothing wrong with thinking about what college you want to go to. Of course, in eighth grade, if you're an athlete, you're thinking about going to Clemson or Alabama or LSU or whatnot. You want to be an athlete and play there. But then, of course, there's only 2% of those athletes make it into their prospective, that's a tough word, prospective professional sports team. Sports league, excuse me. So they always, there's always nothing wrong with having a backup plan, and college is great. Playing college sports is great, especially if you're on a scholarship, you get a free education. So that way you have a backup plan just in case those dreams do not pan out. I'm not saying they won't, but you need to be prepared if they don't. So that's part of the advisement day. But in the needs assessment, I made sure I had seven or eight different topics like time management, social skills, conflict resolution, test-taking skills. I did put college and career readiness on there. How to interact with your peers and adults, so forth and so on. So that had, of course, the first one you rank, that's the highest one you want to learn about. Second one and the third option. Now, in the third option, I added on a other and other option. So if you click other, it'll branch off to a separate question, and it asks you, if you selected other, what would you like that topic to be? And there were 28 responses, and 25 of them were high school. The other three I forgot to select branch off to end the form, and they said I didn't select other. So just make sure that, if you're using Microsoft Forms, then you use branching. Make sure those options are selected to end the form instead of leaving it blank. It'll take you to the next question. So that's something I forgot to click on. It's neither here or there. Just a little TED talk on a Microsoft form. Got some good responses. Time management, social skills, conflict resolution, college readiness. Those are the top four responses those kids selected. Of course, ideally, when you're doing a needs assessment, you would like to push it out to your parents and your teachers. It could be formal. With teachers, you could just, when you're in, if you're building those grade level meetings with teachers, and you're sitting in those meetings, you just listen to what they're discussing, and you implement those things into your core curriculum for that year, or use that data to drive your program. Because you just don't want to create a comprehensive program without no, I mean, without about to be country without no data, but without any data, you want something to be substantiated to when you're describing your program, you're doing your advisory council. Well, this is what we're focusing on this year as far as far as this grade level with their core curriculum and so forth and so on. You want to make sure that that product is driven by the data that you're taking in. Second thing I did with my eighth graders this year, I want to do advisement minute meetings, folks call it. I call it advisement. What I did was I did it digitally through, of course, through Microsoft Forms, and it was like 10 questions. It's a max 10 questions if you select the others or select the specified responses. That way, I can find out if I need to create small groups or if I need to do some more intentional check-ins with you. So on a question on that form, of course, I had the name and their homeroom teacher, so I can know where to find those students. How are they feeling about this year? If they were selected responses to anxious or I don't know, they'll branch them off to another question, an open-ended question on why, and it will, of course, they will type in, it'll be open response into why, and then I'll look at those responses and drill down, see if I need to do an anxiety group or a grief group, so forth and so on. And so far, I had a lot of students. I have 16 students that responded in that manner. I gave them small group permission forms. I had 4 students turning in, so a quarter of the students turned in. So I need to go back and follow up with the other 12 and see what they're going to do, because you don't want to. Ideal small groups is 6 to 10, 6 to 8 really, but 10, you could bring six, we'll say 6 to 12. So that way, if you have 12 students, you can create two different groups, so it could be more manageable. And you could disseminate when you're going to have those groups. You might have one set of group on Fridays. For our building, Friday will be advisory. You have it during advisory. The other group will be during connections during the first 15 minutes of connections. Connection period is 80 minutes in our building, so that way they'll get a pass to go to connections, and you won't interrupt important instruction in the core subjects. I'm not saying connections are not important; they are, but that would be the better time to get it instead of during instruction. Especially with 8th grade, where they got in our state, you got to take all 4 parts of the milestone state testing. Another thing that I did with my needs assessments was I added in how they want to be identified as. So I know I had 10 students that selected other instead of male or female. 10 students selected other, and they said they them. A lot of them said they them. Some said zim, zer, zim, ziz, and zers. That way, that's a form of trust building, a form of relationship building. So that way, those students know they have at least have somebody that can, that at least honor their pronouns. There's also this form also a small little form of bully prevention. So that way, if the teacher start is wants them to, if they want the teacher to identify them in that way in their classroom, the students will already know how to identify them when they're how to identify them when they see them in various settings, like being the comments for lunch or being in the hallway, whatnot, and what so forth. Those are different ways to do that. Those are a couple of different things I did within the first month of school, and I have my data points on what I need to do with my students, my 8th grade students for this year. And of course, you could differentiate that with your other grade levels in your building. What we talked about for our grade levels was social skills, because remember, if you look at the grade levels that you have in the building, I'm looking at middle school right now. I'm just looking at middle school. I'm not looking at high school, because high school might be a little bit different depending on the demographic and the makeup of those kids. I know in my building, I could just speak for my school. These kids are socially underdeveloped right now. We can say all the kids are socially underdeveloped, because think about it, they've been home for the ones that stayed home, they've been home for a year and a half until this school year. So if you have 8th graders, they're still in the 6th grade mindset in an 8th grade body. You have 7th graders, they're still in the 5th grade mindset in a 7th grade body, and 6th grade, 4th grade. So basically, you're going back. They're in their 2 year. It's like when you look at Lexile scores, if they're in the 8th grade but on a 6th grade reading level, same thing for their social emotional wellness. Their social Lexile will be a 6th grade level, may possibly lower. They might have been lower than that in the sixth grade. They might have been in a 4th or 5th grade, and so forth and so on. So those are things that we have to compensate for and recalibrate our kids for. I know our 6th grade students are had to, you have to go back to writing their names on assignments, because remember, if they were home all last year, didn't have to do a handwritten assignment or anything. So they're back in the building, they had to get used to that. You have to them teachers need to be reminded as far as writing your name on a piece of paper at the top, or turning work in on time and that's on paper, so forth and so on. So those are some of the things that we are handling in our building right now. And we have to make sure we account for the social deficits that they have right now to go along with some of the academic deficiencies that they might be experiencing at this present moment. So there are plenty of things that we need to make sure that we prepare our students for. This is what we're built for. This is what we went to school for as counselors. Now, I will be right back with my housekeeping items. Keep it locked. This is the part of the show that I get my housekeeping items on. Of course, I'm going back before I record each session to make sure there's sound on this. So I'm listening to it. There is sound. So don't not stop listening to the podcast. That is so much of a triple entendre or improper English. I don't care right now because I'm still mad that a whole episode was Beats for Counselors. I'm gonna change. I might change the name to the podcast. Change the name of the podcast of Beats for Counselors, just Beats. So I apologize. I profusely apologize for not having any vocal and wherewithal to know that there was nothing on that doggone track. I feel like Roscoe Dash. Listen to this track. But anyway, I gotta you gotta have you gotta laugh, keep yourself from crying, because you can follow my podcast on Anchor, Spotify, Breaker, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Google Podcasts, and of course Apple Podcasts. Apple, if you're listening, need a new MacBook, need a new iMac, something to to dedicate just for podcasting. I'm an educator. We're in a pandemic. I need all the resources I can get. So if you want to donate that for the podcast, I'll be greatly appreciative of those items. You can follow me on the Twitter at Fave the PSC, Fave the Counselor dot Weebly dot com. Follow me on Facebook, The Counselor Connection with Fabian Vicks. For those that know me personally in Georgia, I am going to be over podcasting for GSCA. That episode will be airing next week once I get some final edits done with our with my colleagues on what we need to do. We are looking at getting Steve Zaharakis on, the founder of Scooter. I am working on getting Miss Yarber, Miss Maisha Yarber from Bibb County. She is the Bibb County School Counselor of the Year, also an alumna of the Fort Valley State University. So that is going to be a treat to get on there. She was a counselor at Bertie Hunt Middle School. She was part of my old cluster. We collaborated together and worked on some stuff. Looking at future guests, anybody that's listened to the podcast, you want to talk about SEL, or if you're an administrator, you want to talk about the role of counselors playing in your building, district coordinators, anybody that's in education, talk about the roles of counselors and how they impact students' lives and how you interact and collaborate with them. You are always welcome on this podcast, and I appreciate you. I haven't had an administrator on my podcast since my first episode when my good friend Reggie Williams discussed his role as a principal and the role of counselors in his building a couple years ago. So it would be great if I could get some administrator on here just to talk about that. But I'm gonna be back with my final thought on this Fort Valley FAMU game this weekend. It's happening tonight at 6 p.m. Like I said, I'm recording on a Saturday, so keep it locked. Fave's final thought. If you don't know, I attended the Fort Valley State University. I graduated in 2003 with a Bachelor's of Arts in Political Science. I minored in Mass Communication, as well as music performance. For those that might not know, I play saxophone as well. I was drum major at Fort Valley. I was a student director in 2002, drum major in 98 and 2001, section leader for a couple years in the 90s. So I'm dating myself on how old I am, how long I was Fort Valley. If you're good at math, you figure it out. I'm not ashamed to say it. I played around in college for a little while and delayed my calling to being a school counselor by a couple years because I wanted to party and not go to class. But hey, that's where time management comes in. Stay woke. But anyway, I want to give a little background to the history of Fort Valley and FAMU. Fort Valley, of course, is a land grant institution that is in Fort Valley, Georgia. As a state, is under the State University Systems of Georgia. It is one of the greatest places to be. It's a great university. It's where I met my wife. It's where my two oldest daughters go. They should be graduating this year from there. That is where my two younger daughters will be going, unless somebody offers them a free scholarship, free housing, free car, everything. Other than that, they will be going to Fort Valley State University unless somebody's offering them a free everything. But anywho, I digress. That is not why we are here. I'm recording this on September 11th. I could be talking about the 20th anniversary of the September attacks, September 11th attacks that shook this country and changed how we live pretty much. From two planes going into the Twin Towers to a plane hitting the Pentagon and a fourth plane that was crashed purposely by brave pilot, brave staff and passengers on that flight, United 93, that crashed in Pennsylvania, that was headed for the Capitol building, possibly the White House. So we take this day to remember those that we lost on those attacks. And folks are wondering why we picked not why those terrorists picked 9/11. I'm getting to the Fort Valley FAMU game in a minute, but I just give a history lesson. If you look at the date 9/11, you take out the dash, what is that? What does that create? Creates 9/11. So we need to also pay homage to and love and respect to those first responders. We got police officers, paramedics, fire department, and folks, don't forget this dispatchers, how much trauma they dealt with taking those calls in and dispatching them to those officers and the fire department and ambulances and whatnot. Folks don't realize first responders are true first responders are the dispatchers because they take the call before they dispatch it out to police or whatever services that you need. So I'm not saying the police or fire department aren't first responders, but the dispatchers are the true first responders because remember they think about what they heard on those phone lines when the towers crashed or when the plane hit the Pentagon or whatnot. So just take some time out of your day right now, or take some time out when you decide to listen to this podcast and just take a short moment and just think about those that we lost 20 years ago and those that have are irrevocably still dealing with it. Listen to a story the other day, firefighters or police officers that were a part of Ground Zero right now live with cancer or dying from cancer right now because of that. And it's heartbreaking and sad, and it's just tough. I know I'm talking about FAMU and Fort Valley. I'm gonna get to that, but I got want to talk about. I know everybody asked where you was at on 9/11. I had two friends, Jamal and Jermaine. If you're familiar with Fort Valley, there's the yellow apartments. That's off a side street from University Drive. And this year, 2001, I was drum major at Fort Valley. And after practice, I would go over to their house and we play video games all night and hang out and trip or whatever. So I spend the night at their house, especially if I had class late in the day or whatnot. So we got up. I'm waking up at 8:40 and we turn to ESPN and we wonder why ABC News was on. We see a doggone plane crash through a freaking building. I think it was the, I can't remember, I'm not gonna lie and say I know which tower was it. I can't remember which tower it was. We just saw a plane literally fly through the tower. We thought it was just, we didn't think it was a airliner. But when we saw that second plane hit, and then reports of the Pentagon, we was like, what in the world is happening? We were shocked. You talking about a campus that was shut down that day. It was wow. That's all you can say is just wow. That's all you can say right there. And it's like vivid memory. That's something you're not gonna forget. The day you get married, the birth of your child, death of your parents, and 9/11. Those are four moments that are etched in your mind. I don't include graduating from college or anything like that because that's, but those are four memories to me, for me, that I'm not ever going to lose because of that's just how entrenched they were in my life. With that being said, whew, that was heavy. Fort Valley and FAMU. Back in the 80s, Fort Valley used to play FAMU a lot. My old band director, Mr. Giles, was the band director of Fort Valley in the 80s when they played FAMU. That relationship got rekindled back in 2011. I remember that game because I was there. Every possible alumnus and alumna that I knew from Fort Valley was at that game. We were just as deep as FAMU was there that day. Unfortunately, we lost the game. We lost 22 to 21 to FAMU that day. But FAMU was scared. So the next couple of times they played within the tens, they beat us soundly. So let's fast forward to today, September 11th, 2021, 6 p.m. at Bragg Field. FAMU, you are on the clock. But if Fort Valley loses today, this will mark a stain on my life that is almost as bad as Albany State beating us. Me and my principal, Mr. Wiley, I'm at Dutchtown Middle School for those that know. My principal and about six or seven other staff members, they're attended FAMU. So I have to deal with listening to them and their obnoxious behavior of rhetoric and insensibility of being a hierarchical school of educational purposes. So I was quiet Tuesday. I was just being calm and just talking to my principal. I stopped by his office every day. Like, man, what happened to y'all Sunday? We talk about how they play Jackson State, lost Deion's team 7-6. Couldn't score, but Jackson State couldn't score either though. So either way, the defense did their job. It's just the offense just couldn't pull it out for them. On the other hand, we played Tuskegee, who have beaten us seven consecutive times, and so we beat them 30-0 on ESPN2. So, I was quiet about it. Then I stopped by my principal's office on Wednesday. I stopped by there. We talk or whatever, and say, "We play y'all this weekend, don't we play you this weekend, don't you?" Like, yeah. So you wanna? So let's do a bet. If you win, I'll wear your colors on Monday. But if we win, you have to wear our colors on Monday. So I have to wear, if I Fort Valley when Fort Valley wins, he will have to wear a blue suit with a blue and gold tie, and I have three or four of them just for him. Now, if Fort Valley lose, I will have to wear green and orange. This is going to be hilarious on Monday, so I will make sure I will tweet this, and I will post this on my Twitter page and my Council Connection page if we happen to lose that day. Now, I didn't want to make the bet. My wife told me don't do it. I was calm about it, but then it's just a friendly bet between two guys, who ride for their alma mater. But then comes Wednesday afternoon, when Mr. Wiley announced it to the building, say, "Hey, this we need to take some pride, and we're gonna have show Dutchtown pride on Thursday. We're gonna show college pride on Friday." He said, "Everybody on Friday wear green and orange because Mr. Vicks and I have a bet because we play Fort Valley this weekend, and if Fort Valley loses, he'll have to wear green and orange. He'll look so good in green and orange." Now, keep in mind, now he didn't say what he had to do if he lose. Because Lord knows if I get a glimpse of Fort Valley winning on tonight, he will receive a text bright and early tomorrow, like, "Good morning, sir. Pick which tie you would like to wear with your blue suit." But unfortunately, I'm not speaking it. I manifest things. We will win at FAMU. I just want to know why FAMU is so scared to come to Fort Valley. We always go down there. Why don't y'all make a 3-hour drive to us? We have a good stadium. We have some decent hotels. You can stay in Warner Robins Apeer. Why we got to travel to you? What makes y'all special that we had to go all the way to Tallahassee? Y'all share a city with Florida State. At least Fort Valley is our city. We own Fort Valley. You got to share with Florida State and another community college down there. But in the words of my cousin, FAMU, you're on the clock now. I want to thank you for listening to my podcast. And once again, I profusely apologize for whatever happened on episode 3, and I'm out.
Hopped out the Benz like it's common sense. Got a monkey on my feet like it's common sense. Got gorillas in the streets like it's common sense. Stack the money heads up like it's second nature. Got a stay pulled up like it's second nature. Keep a chip in my hair like it's second nature. Big wonder make me step like second nature.